wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. The secret revealed to God's people. This is the secret. Christ lives in you. The hope or the assurance of sharing his glory. Now, if you're a little bit uncomfortable with me saying you are God's incarnation by being you are a manifestation of Jesus to the world, at least let me share it this way. If you're a little uncomfortable with that, at least let me share it this way, that you bear the incarnation of God because Christ is in you. Just like Christ was in Mary, okay, only in physical form as a baby to be birthed, so also Christ is in you, not in the physical form, but by the Spirit. Christ is in you, and that is the hope of glory, the hope of sharing his glory, not only experiencing the glory of God ourselves, but sharing his glory with others, making a difference to the people that are around you. Okay, so we're going to entitle this Living Out the Mary Miracle. Last week was part one of the Mary Miracle. This week is part two. So we're going to talk about your own miracle. And this is where I've got a very simple message today. In fact, it's even short. Okay? So I knew the kids would be in the service today and just want to be conscious of that. But it's still impactful if you will let it be. It doesn't have to be long to be good. Amen? In fact, sometimes shorter is better. Amen? I knew I'd get a bunch of amens on that one. Oh, okay. All right, so this for our own miracle, this is where we go from the general to the specific. In other words, you know, I could all day long say, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. You are the incarnation of God. You bear the incarnation of the Lord. And I could go on and on and on with that, but that would all be general. You could say amen forever. But the point of it is when it becomes specific for you, meaning what is it that God has for you to do to live out that incarnation or to bear Jesus in you so it changes people that are around you. That's where we go from the general to the specific. We all need a specific word. We can all agree with the general. Yeah, okay, I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. But when God says, okay, now this is what I want you to do. Oh, okay, well, I have to agree to that too. I have to say amen to that too. Well, if you want to fulfill the will of God in your life, yes, you do. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, going from the general to the specific, where from being just a representative of Jesus to the world to this is what I want you to do, or this is what I want you to be, the Lord saying that to you. And so what we need for that to happen is we need a word from the Lord. Mary got a word from the Lord. A representative of God in the form of an angel, Gabriel, came and spoke the word of the Lord to her, you will bear a child. Okay, and so she received this word from the Lord. Now, for her, it happened in an angelic visitation. You may receive an angelic visitation. I'm not going to block that out saying, well, those things just don't happen anymore. They do, they can. The point of it is don't ask for it in a particular way. Or I mean, there's been so many times where I've said, Lord, if you could just show up as an angel and speak a word to me so I would know for sure. But then even with that, the scripture says, well, you got to test that. You know, if a spirit or an angel should appear to you, you're supposed to test it and see if it, you know, confesses Jesus as God's son and died on the cross. And so even with that, Satan appears as an angel of light, the scripture says. And so we have to be careful about those kinds of things and not just, woo, I had an angelic visitation, so I know what I'm supposed to do. But we need to be able to receive that word of the Lord in its various forms. It might be a prophetic word. A prophetic word can come to you in a variety of ways. A prophetic word can come to you from Scripture. As you're reading through the Scripture, something is enlightened to you and you know what you're supposed to do. I could go to the Scriptures and share with you what the passion that stirs in my heart. When I read it, it's just like it comes alive to me. I've done it a number of times. I'm not going to do it today. But from the Scripture, it could be from anointed preaching. You might receive a word of the Lord. In fact, I have been so effective that I have preached people right out of this church. Amen. Not by my design, but by God's design. I remember someone coming and saying to me that, you know, your message And what I had done is I had preached a message about you fulfilling God's will in your life and God planting in you the desires of your heart so that you know what His will is so you can pursue. You got the motivation to pursue after those desires and fulfill God's will for your life. And that caused this person to go back to school and to take another job, and they moved away as a result of that. But it was a good thing. But it was an anointed word of the Lord that stirred someone to fulfill the will of God in their life. A prophetic word. It might be that still small voice on the inside. We know how frequently God speaks by His Spirit on the inside of us. And we know that we receive direction, we receive leading by that still small voice, not an audible voice that you hear, or not an angelic visitation, or not someone prophesying over you, but that still small voice where you know that it is the word of the Lord, but it also comes with confirmations. And that's the thing that we need to realize, that when we receive a word, now we need to receive something that is already confirming what is on the inside of us, or to receive confirmations after that. I remember when I sensed the call of the Lord to become a pastor, there was not an angelic visitation. There was not a prophetic word. There was this stirring in my heart to pursue after this, both academically and practically, to begin to initiate this process of becoming a pastor. That was stirring in my heart. But one of the first things that I did was I sought the counsel of those who were spiritual leaders to me to see, does this fit with what you are seeing in me, to get that confirmation. And then not only that, but I believe that the Lord also answered that in a supernatural way from people who did not know me, who were praying over me with tongues and interpretation. And the Lord spoke through them and said, I have called you to shepherd my sheep. And so I just said, okay, Lord, that was confirming what the word that I had already heard. There was a word of the Lord that was saying what He had intended to do in me. Now, with these things, going from the general to the specific, and getting a word from the Lord, this is the guarantee that you will have. It will be a word that is beyond you. Okay? And oftentimes we start to disqualify ourselves because we say, no way, how is that going to happen? I'm not that kind of person. And see, we eliminate immediately the miraculous works of God by beginning to ask two questions. We saw one of the questions that Mary asked, but I believe for most of us there is another question that comes first to us, and that is, who? Me? We start asking this kind of question because we see ourselves. We might respond when the Lord says, I want you to do such a thing. We might say, well, but I'm just an ordinary sinner. And by that, I'm not discrediting that we're made to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But my point is that we have a nature of sin, and we still have this tendency towards sin. And we can look at that, and we can start to disqualify ourselves and say, who, me? Look, excuse me, I'm just an ordinary sinner. Now, I have this question for you. Was the Virgin Mary a sinner? She was. She had the nature of sin. She was born of natural parents. She had the nature of sin. So, but did that disqualify her from bearing the Son of God? It didn't. It didn't. God was able to do this work through her, even though she was, like every one of the rest of us, a person born with the nature of sin. Now, I'm not saying that Mary, you know, went out carousing and partied and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, acts of sin, but the point of it is, and in fact, I think that she was probably very righteous in her living, very righteous in her following the law of God and so on and so forth, you know, that we know that God looks for pure vessels, as the scripture says. It says, flee from these things, purify yourself, that you might be a vessel of God, able to do the work of the Master. You know, so we understand that. But the point of it is Mary was like us in that she had the nature of sin, and yet God was able to use her. So let's not disqualify ourselves by this kind of thing or by another word that might be, well, I'm just from a small town of no reputation. You know, Mary could have said that. I'm from Nazareth. In fact, if there was a reputation about Nazareth, it was not a good one. Remember Nathanael's response when he's, you know, what was it, Andrew that came to him and said, you know, let me show you, come and see this Jesus of Nazareth. He says, Nazareth? What did he say? Can anything good come of Nazareth? So it's like Nazareth had this bad reputation, really. And we might say, you know, but I am from a small town of no reputation. Or we might say, you know, like Gideon, I'm from a family that has no reputation. We're the least of all of them. And my family's the least of our clan. And, you know, and start backing up. Or like Moses, we see continuously people saying, who, me? Moses said, you know, well, I can't talk very good, God. You know, and so we start eliminating ourselves. Jeremiah says, I'm just a boy. When God says, no, I've called you. I've called you from your mother's womb. And so, you know, we cannot respond with just excuses and say, who, me? The next question is the one that Mary did say, that we see her asking this question, how can this be? How can this happen? You know, for her, it was an impossibility. How can I bear a child? I have known no man. I am a virgin. How can this be? And again, the angel Gabriel, as we saw already in our review, the angel Gabriel responded and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, these words that were spoken by the angel Gabriel to Mary are the very same things that the Word of God, in fact, Jesus himself, speaks to his disciples. How can this be? Jesus said it this way in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How can this be? This is how it can be. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, just as Gabriel said to Mary. Jesus says to his disciples, his followers, us, when you receive the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you'll receive power with that. There comes the ability. How can this be? The Spirit of God, the power of God in you, on you. We also read this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So how can this be? It's the power of God at work in us, enabling us to fulfill the work of God through us, enabling us to change the lives of people that are around us as a result of his power working in us. So if we're asking the question, who me? God's going to say, because I've chosen you. And you are not disqualified because you have the nature of sin or because you are a sinner. You are not disqualified because you don't come from a prestigious family or a prestigious city or something like that. You're not disqualified because of that. And how can this happen? Because the Spirit of God is going to empower you to do it. Again, our response needs to be the same response as Mary, and that is, be it done in me according to your word, or be it done to me according to your word. And I believe that this is the moment of impregnation. This is the moment of impregnation. The moment of impregnation is not when God comes and says, you shall be whatever God has called you to do, or you shall do whatever God has called you to do. I don't believe that Mary was impregnated by the Spirit of God until she responded and said, be it done. Because God never forces himself on anyone. And he does not force you to do anything. You will not be impregnated with a word of the Lord until you respond and saying, Lord, be it done to me according to your will. And see, throughout Scripture we can see that. People responding to the will of God and being willing to do what he has called them to do and willing to do what he's asked them to do. So there comes the word of the Lord. And the impregnation is a result of the response of be it done according to your word. Well, after the impregnation comes gestation. I'm getting a little bit technical here with my terminology, but most of you will understand what these words mean. Gestation is the period where the child is within the womb and is being nurtured, developed, growing, developing from that egg planted with the seed to become this fully birthable child. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up. So But what we see in this period, what is required during this period, and ladies all know this for sure, is the faith and patience to receive the promise. Hebrews 6:12 says, "Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. You will follow the instead you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance, or their faith and their patience." Now I have a question for you. This word of the Lord that came to Mary through the angel Gabriel, did it take 9 months or did it take 30 years for this word of the Lord to come to pass? See, it wasn't just that she was going to have it wasn't just that she was going to have a baby, but it was that she was going to have a Savior of the world. And see, that really didn't take place until Jesus initiated his public ministry and went to the cross. So we could even say 33 years before this word of the Lord came to pass in Mary. So through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Some of us have received words from the Lord in our years, our recent years or past years, and we may get very, very frustrated because they have not yet come to pass, and we're thinking, "What's up, God? Why are you so slow about this? Or why hasn't this come to pass? Have I missed something or whatever?" And we need to remember that it is through faith and patience that these inherited the promises of God, and we are to be like them. That through faith and through patience or through endurance, and that is the gestation process. Not only was it 9 months for Mary, but it was really more like 30 years for Mary to receive this word of the Lord to come to pass. And many times there will be a length of period of time before our miracle from the Lord comes to pass. Okay, here's another thing about gestation. It's a time of being stretched. No kidding. No kidding, literally. Having a baby stretches you, as the ladies all know, and their husbands as well. Having a baby stretches you. But it's appropriate. It's good. It's the right thing. God has designed that to be so that it can take place. And so it is with us when we are receiving and this word of the Lord is developing within inside of us. God intends for you to be stretched beyond comfort. I believe the ladies could all agree that once you're stretched, it's not comfortable anymore. It is uncomfortable. But that is part of the process. And God stretches us out of our comfort so that, it's unfortunate that I'm the one up here speaking about this because you guys are so, "Oh, yeah, sure. You really know how to relate, don't you?" The ladies are all saying that. "Honey, you want to come up and preach this part of the message?" You forgot?
I forgot.
Okay. Excuse me. But the point of it is we all understand this, that God's purpose is to stretch us out of that comfort zone so that we can fulfill His word. Because remember what I said, you are guaranteed to receive a word that is beyond you. Now here's another part, dealing with criticism. If you start speaking out what God has spoken to you and you start declaring to other people what you believe God is leading you to do, you are going to be criticized. Especially if it's a particular work of God that is beyond the natural. Think about Mary and Joseph with a pregnancy before marriage. You know that they dealt with criticism. You know that they dealt with people looking down on them and saying, what have you guys been up to? You know, that kind of thing was going to be the criticism that they would receive. And so also our criticism will not very likely be the same, but we'll also receive criticism as a result of us trying to pursue what God has for us to do that is in a supernatural way. And here's the point of this, is you do not have to explain with reason. All you have to do is just know within yourself. I remember the day that I tried to explain to the banker how I was phasing out of farming and going into ministry. And he showed me how it could not be done. And I didn't have to explain with reason to try and convince him. All I had to do was know within myself that I was doing the right thing. I was doing what God wanted me to do. Okay, so you don't have to explain with reason. You just have to know within. And that's not that he was being critical. I don't want to put him in the wrong light, but he was just explaining the way things were. It wasn't reasonable, okay? Here's the other thing, is you need to sing your song. Mary sang her song, and we see that in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, and I'm just going to share this with you because it was her song to the Lord. It was her song about what God was doing in her, and it's part of what kept her focused, I believe, for the Lord's blessing in her life and how he had chosen her for this purpose. Verse 46, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of this lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." So she's declaring these things about the Lord, and we will also need to have a song or a word of declaration, something that we can repeat over and over again that keeps our focus about what God has called us to do and the goodness of God and what he is doing through us, that he chose us. He chose me to do this awesome thing, whatever it is, and it's impossible for me to make the general go to specific for you. You've got to get that word from the Lord to fill in these spaces that I'm leaving open, this thing that God has called for you to do, this person that God has called you to be. You've got to fill in those gaps with the word of the Lord for you. But then you need to be able to sing your song, to develop that song, song to the Lord and song about the Lord. And it might be, your song might be the beginning of your song, might be what we're going to go in and sing at the end of this message here this morning. We're going to sing some things that may be a request of you or a desire that you have for the Lord or from the Lord to initiate this process in you. Unless you've already got this word of the Lord for you to be what God has called you to be. If you're walking in that, fine, praise God, stir it up, keep it going. But if there's others who are seeking this word of the Lord to know what God has called me to do, what God wants me to be, how God wants me to affect the people that are around me, I'll invite you to sing this song with us this morning as we conclude to make this your song for now. Okay, well, after the gestation period, there is the time of giving birth. And again, when we go back to Mary and Joseph and the experience that they had and apply that to ourselves, there was, first of all, simple dependence and trust in God to take care of all things. I mean, the kids did such a great job at displaying, what actually took place. Here, they have to go from Nazareth, they have to go to Bethlehem, they have to go for the census, all these kinds of things. And it's like she's ready to bear her child give birth to her child and hear this disruption into their lives. But they have to do it, and they yield themselves to that thing, but they're dependent upon the Lord. And not only that, then the place to give birth. They get there, as we all sing the song, there's no room in the inn. The scripture says there's no room in the inn. And so here it is. They don't have any place to go to give birth to this child. And they end up again in such humble circumstances, humble appearances. And don't you think that Mary and Joseph sat there going, this certainly isn't the place for God's son to be born. This certainly isn't the place for someone of the royalty that he is, for the Savior of the world to be born in a barn. God, what are you doing? This just does not seem right. And yet, God chooses humble. In fact, that was part of Mary's song. He has chosen the humble. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He's scattered the proud and haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. And so the humble appearances were okay. It was okay. And see, God has a choice of humble. And so it is, we all qualify. We're not royalty. We're not prestigious in our positions in the world and all these kinds of things. We're not the sexiest man, you know, on People Magazine or whatever. I don't know what they do, which ones they do it, or the top money income person, you know, to have these prestigious positions that we would think, well, that'll attract a lot of attention, so God would certainly use them. No, we're just humble sinners from Dodge Center, Baldwin, Wisconsin. Baldwin. Can anything good come from Baldwin? Yeah, Oli and Lena can come from Baldwin. So, but anyway, you know, it's like we have to embrace that God chooses humble, and humble is good. People and places, Mary and Joseph, both in their humility is right. From Nazareth, again, a place of no reputation or bad reputation. Again, a manger and a stable in Bethlehem. Then the shepherds, you know, we found out even in the play, you know, shepherds, they're stinky people, you know, no one really cares for the shepherds being around, or, you know, but that's who God chose to open the heavens with the angels declaring, for unto you this day has been born in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He chose a group of shepherds, lowly, humble shepherds, to declare that message to. And they decided, let's go see what God's done. You know, and so God chooses humble. He has the choice of humble. And remember this. This is something that I brought up when we were talking about Israel and going into the promised land, and Israel going into, first of all, the spies, and how Rahab, the prostitute, hid them, lied about hiding them, and then was part of those, her and her family were saved when the Israelites came and conquered Jericho. But we found out that Rahab was also in the lineage of Jesus. Not only virginal Mary, but lying prostitute Rahab, who, by the way, came to faith in God. She was part of the lineage of Jesus. God chooses humble. He chooses people that are imperfect. He chooses people even with a past to do miraculous things through it and bring about miraculous things, as in the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. Well, what is it that God desires to birth in you? And what supernatural means and activities will God do to bring that about so that you can develop that miracle within and then give birth to and express that miracle so that it affects those who are around you? This Mary miracle principle is that God will bring a word to you, develop it through you, be born out of you, so that you can affect the people that are around you. Amen.